For those of you who just came in, just to kind of recap, we're talking about confirmation. Typically, and from now on, after this year, confirmation will only be 5th and 6th grade. We'll get it, but since there hasn't been a confirmation class, we're teaching here. It's going to be 8 weeks. There'll be a few weeks that we don't do it because we don't have Sunday school. And we're just talking about what confirmation is. And confirmation is you saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Apostles' Creed, which is what we're going to use as our, basically our outline on teaching. Because we say it every week in church, the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in, and a list of things, and we'll get to that. It's also, if you've already been confirmed, doesn't mean you need to be confirmed. You don't have to be confirmed if you don't want to be. We're not pushing you into that. Also, if you've already been baptized from your own decision, like you said, I want to be baptized, that counts as confirmation. But if you still want to go up in front of the church on May 22nd and be blessed by the bishop, I think go for it. Now, there's a little hairy subject in the middle of this confirmation thing, and so I want to address it straight up, is that when you're confirmed, you're saying, yes, I want to be a member of this church. Understand that membership doesn't mean that you now are not allowed to go to any other church for the rest of your life. Or that when you leave here and go to college, that you have to find an Anglican church. But you're here, and most of you, I'm looking at you, most of you come here every week. And because you can't drive, or because it's where your parents go, this is where you are. And it is important for you to be a part of a community and go ahead and say, yes, I'll be a member while I'm here, until maybe you turn 16 and you really feel led to go to a different church. Awesome. Go be a member of that church. But it's something that is really important in your walk as a believer to go ahead and assign yourself to a church you're at, serve where you can, and identify with those believers. Okay. It doesn't mean that we're going to give you a card or you're going to get tattooed member of St. Andrew's or you have to put a sticker on your car, anything like that. Know that at any point in time, you could leave this church and join a different church, okay? But that's what confirmation is in our church, in the EMEA, is that when you're confirmed, you're saying, I am now a member of this church. Anybody got any questions about that? Awesome. Confirmation is not salvation. If you go through all of this and you're like, yes, I understand all of that information, that does not mean that you now are a believer. Okay? A believer is somebody who has a relationship with Jesus, who has given their life over, that they've admitted that they are sinners, that they believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that they're willing to commit to walking with him and getting to know him. Okay? So there is a transformation that happens for you to be a believer. Okay? So confirmation is not, hey, you go through this, now you're going to heaven. It's just, this is information, and you get a chance to say, I would like to stand up in front of the congregation and say, I'm a believer, and I want to be a part of this church. Does that make sense? Awesome. Let's see if I missed anything. It's a rite of passage. Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's get started in the actual teaching part. Pardon me. All right, so the first part of the Apostles' Creed, anybody know what it is? That's the second part. The God, the Father, Father Almighty, okay? Where does God first show up in the Bible? This is really easy. First book of the Bible. Genesis, right? And what does he do? What does he do in Genesis 1? What does he start doing? That's right. What's great and what you can see it's a common theme throughout the Old Testament, is that God will create, then he'll name it, he'll divide, and then he'll evaluate. And he does it multiple times in Genesis. He says, hey, we got heavens and earth. He named them, they're divided, and he says, hey, you know what? It's good. At the end of each day, he says, it is good. Until he creates man and woman, and then he says, what? What's different? He says it's very good. That's important to know. that in all of creation, the thing that God adores the most is you and me. So why do you think God made man and woman?
Because he loves us. Because
he loves us, but we weren't there first, so... Yeah, right. Why do a husband and wife decide to have a child? Do you know? Sometimes they don't decide. Sometimes it just happens. But sometimes they're like, Aaron and I knew that we wanted to one day have children. And the reason why is because we have enough love. We wanted to love something. We wanted somebody to love, to dote on, someone to protect. There's just this desire in us to do that. Well, God, who made us in his image, wants the same thing.
God was lonely.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, Aaron and I were not lonely when we were like, it's like, I'm really lonely. Let's have a child. That's going to get us into the Trinity, which is great that you say that. Is the Trinity confusing to anyone? It's confusing, right? It's absolutely confusing. how many gods do we have? We have one God, right? How many parts does God have?
Three.
Right? And they each have their own name. One of them just is the Holy Spirit, or Shabazz, as we've decided to call it. Oops, I recorded that. It's a joke. Okay, so, right, well, let me help you understand. There's a couple illustrations I have for what the Trinity is. Okay, my name is AJ, okay? I am my wife's husband. I am my brother's brother, and I'm my mom's son. I'm three different people there. That's just some. To you, I'm your youth leader. I have a best friend. I'm his friend. I'm multiple things, but I'm still just me. Right? Does that make sense? Anybody's got a problem with that? You can have a problem. You can disagree with me. I mean, you'll be wrong. I'm teasing. But let me give you an example, because there's a part that's like, okay, so if that's true, why does God have to have three parts? Why does he have to be three? Why can't he just be one? This is AJ theology. I used to think God's like, hey, I'm awesome. I'm going to worship myself. And that sounds kind of arrogant, doesn't it? Now, can it be arrogance if you are indeed perfect? You know, I mean, probably not. You know, when people would say Michael Jordan would brag a bunch, but, you know, he said, I'm the best basketball player in the world. It's like, well, he backed it up. He really was the best basketball player in the world. But here's the thing. Why do we, when we do music at church, why do we do it? And the first service doesn't happen as much, but second service, you see people raising their hands and we do it together. Why do we worship together? Yeah, that's not the point. The point is, why do we worship together? Why do we do that all together? Why don't we just not have a teaching and that's it? Why do we have music? Yeah. Can you worship by yourself?
Yes.
Is it special to worship in a community? Let me give you an awesome example of a Trinity. Let's see. I need three physical illustrations here. You're not going to get messy. I'm not going to make fun of you. Three people just stand up. Come over here.
That's four.
It's okay. We don't have a quadri-union God. We have a triune God. Okay. So here's a great way to look at it. So you're going to be God the Father. You're God the Son. And you get to be the Holy Spirit. Or Shabbat. Let me move these. All right, this is an awesome thing. There's a guy named Tim Keller, who's an author, a Christian author. And in his book, King's Cross, am I saying that? No, thank you. I appreciate it. He talks about the Trinity as a dance. Okay? So I'm not going to make you dance. But here's the deal. It's obvious in the Bible that it is a huge deal to worship as a community. Right? And it's important that you worship somebody who's worthy of worship. Correct? Okay. You're not, hey, let's all get together and worship Michael Jordan. That seems really weird.
Yep.
Right? That's not cool at all. But God is worthy of worship. You have a problem with that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, worthy of worship. So, this is awesome. It helped me out. So, you're the Holy Spirit, right? You're the Son. Well, the Holy Spirit and the Son will get together, and they will worship the Father. And the Holy Spirit will come over here with the Father and worship the Son. And the Father will come over here with the Son and worship the Holy Spirit. So that they're always a community worshiping one who's worthy of worship. Does that make sense? And they just keep changing out because it's important to worship. You guys can sit down. Thank you so much. Because it's important to worship in community, and it's important to worship one that's worthy of worship. So God isn't a God that is egocentric, who's just like, I'm going to sit around in my own glory and go, I'm pretty great. He could, but he wants us to be like him. And so he is like this, where there is two worshiping one at all times, and they're mixing around. So not only are they always in community worshiping one that's worthy to be worshipped, but they never worship themselves. Isn't that cool? Anybody got any questions about that? Yeah.
Is God like a teammate, where like God more like a body, and then the three parts are like what we're doing?
I don't know. That's at some point no matter what you start to think about with God, you're going to get to places where you're like, I don't understand. So that part, I'm not really there yet. I don't think that we know exactly. Somebody may, but I'm not one of those. I'm okay with saying I don't know. But that's a good question. Huh?
What was the question?
The question was, is God like one body, or is he, and then like God is one thing, and then there's like three organs in one thing? And yes and no, maybe? I'm not really sure. But it's a good way to think about it, for sure. It's obvious that they are separate in some sense, because they talk to each other. I mean, I talk to myself, but I'm a little wacky. So I don't know if that's a thing. Yeah, right? It's when I start arguing with myself. It's just rough. Have you ever heard God call himself, I am? He does that to Moses. Moses finds him. He's burning bush. He goes, who are you? He goes, I am. And it happens again in the New Testament, and I forget which gospel it happens, but when they come to arrest Jesus, they say, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he goes, I am, and they fall down. He's using the same term for I am. God is not a slave to time. It's really important for you to understand that. He created time. Anybody got a problem with that? We all agree, God created time. If he's the God who he says he is, he created time. He is not a slave to it. So when he says, I am, he literally says, I've always been. So he's in past, present, and future at the same time. That's why the Old Testament people got to go to heaven before Jesus showed up. You ever wondered that? Like, okay, did they just die and hang out in a waiting room until Jesus showed up? The reason why they sacrificed animals is they were saying, we believe that you're going to do this one day in our timeline, but that you've already done it in yours. It's kind of a big deal. okay, if you've got a Bible, why don't you look at John 1? And then you might... Yes, that's what they're up here for, if anybody wants one. And you might, when you find John, not 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I want you to put your finger in or mark it or something, and then go to Genesis 1, and I'm going to show you something that... You're probably smart and you already have realized this, but when I realized that it was in my 20s, and I was like, say what? It's pretty cool.
What is it?
Look for the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You want Bible? No, Bible. Okay. I'll find it real fast too, so I can be with you. All right. Somebody read chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Of John. Do it.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, wait, what am I reading?
Till five.
Okay. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all men.
Okay, so notice what's odd about the word in this? It's capitalized. So who's the Word? If you're in Sunday school and somebody asks you an open-ended question, the answer is probably Jesus. So yes, the Word is Jesus. Why do you think they call Him the Word? Sure. Came with a message. Whose message?
God's
message. Okay? And what does it say about Him?
That the Word was God, the Word was with God, and in the beginning was the Word.
And then in verse 3,
all things were made for Him.
Okay, now go to Genesis 1. Okay, first thing to look at in Genesis 1 here, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So where was the Spirit?
Hovering
over the water. So we know the Spirit was where in the beginning? He was there. He was there. Yeah. And then in verse 3, what happens? Let there be light. What did God use to create light?
Word.
His Word? What is Jesus called in John chapter 1?
The Word.
And what's it say in verse 3 of John 1? Through Him all things were made. That cooled anybody? That here you got God saying, He says, let there be light. So right there, the Trinity is there. God the Father is there saying, let there be light, using His Word, Jesus, to create light. He says all the things that are created. He says, let there be, let there be, let there be. Jesus was there in the beginning. The Trinity is right there. The Spirit is hovering over the water. The Father is using Jesus to create everything. So everything that was made was created by and through Jesus. Kind of cool, right? That's why He's called the Word. Not only did He bring a message to us, but He is literally the device that God used to create everything. I think that's pretty cool. Okay, so here we go. We're talking about the beginning. So in the beginning, it's all dark. God created everything. Does anybody know why God created everything besides humans? We already talked about that. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? You guys have fun.
So we could be with Him.
So we could be with Him? Sure.
For His glory.
Huh?
For His glory.
For His glory? Yes, for sure. Why do you think that we think a sunset is so cool and so pretty? Why do you think that we, right? Why do you think that we are obsessed with space?
Because it's something that we haven't seen
before. It's enormous. It's huge. It blows you away. There's tons of reasons. And it usually puts us in awe. Do you think that's because somebody just decided one day, it's like, you know what? I'm going to define what beauty is. And beauty is such a sunset. And so everybody started going, okay, because this guy decided that sunsets are pretty, we all are going to decide the sunsets are pretty. Because he said so, it's all pretty. Do you think that's how that works? Do you think if you never seen a sunset before and never talked to anybody and you saw a sunset for the first time, you would go, yeah, and?
It's
Oh, you would not. But no, you would see it and go, that is awesome. Look how pretty that is. It always blows me away that when the sun sets, how many colors are in the sky. It's incredible, right? Like you can't, when I try to take a picture of it, and I look at it, I'm like, eh, it doesn't look as good as what I'm seeing. So, God did that to put us in awe of who?
God.
Of God. Absolutely. The reason why we are just completely obsessed with the big and the small of things is because God put it there so that we would have no excuse but to say something happened. Something's going on here. Obviously, there are people who don't want God to be real, and so they, you know, want to try to solve it and say, no, this just happened by accident. I would give you this illustration. If you were walking around the beach and you've never seen a watch before, never knew there was a time device at all, and a watch washed up on the beach, would you pick it up and go, oh my gosh, look at this thing. This is crazy. Over millions of years, this water has washed up and somehow heated up enough to make glass out of the sand. The gears all fit into place, and this thing keeps time. And look, it even fits on my wrist. Isn't science wonderful? Would you do that? No, right? So it seems to me, and even before I was a believer, I heard of evolution. I was like, that seems really far-fetched and weird. Like, I didn't believe in God, but I was like, what? So just out of random mutations over billions of years, now my eyeballs work? Like, I don't, what? So like at one point there was a human without eyeballs, and then one was born and this crazy mutation. Like, cool, look, I've got eyes. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. So, but it does make sense, and not to mention, what a beautiful thought that a loving God was like, you know what? I could put these people on a big ball of mush and love them, but I want things to be pretty. I want things to be amazing, and I want them to give me the credit so they know that I did it because I love them. On a very small, much smaller scale, it's like when I surprised my son with something he didn't ask for. When I come home and I'm like, son, look what I got you. Surprise. He's like, what? That is awesome. Why did I give it to him? Because I love him. I can't give him a sunset, but I can give him a bike, which he started to ride this week. I know. So now we're going to move into something a little harder to deal with. So why sin? Why is there sin in the world? Why did God, an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God, why did he allow sin to even be a part of this world?
So there'd be a choice.
Perfect. So there'd be a choice. In the beginning, when God created everything, he made a garden, and the garden had everything that anybody could need. He's like, hey, look at all this fruit in the garden. Ever have food allergies? And it was like, you can eat anything you want. You can do whatever you want. But one thing. Don't eat from this tree. That was the only rule. Do whatever you want. Don't eat from this tree. Why did he even make it a possibility? Because if there's no choice, there's no love. If you can't choose to love somebody, then love doesn't exist. You put it this way. If, let's say, somebody who had a big crush on you showed up and held a gun to your head and said, you know what? You're going to love me. I'm going to blow your head off. What would you say? You'd probably say, yes, I love you. Do you love them? Why? Because you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice to love. Aaron and I have a choice. We had a choice to love one another. God called us together, but we still had a choice. And if I came to Aaron and I was like, Aaron, let me tell you why we should get married. Because we are a lot alike. Together we will make a great team. We'll make really cute kids. And we will rule the world eventually. And she was like, those stats sound great. Yes, I will love you. Is that really love? No. Because you know what? We don't always make a great team. We do make beautiful kids, but, you know, I mean, you can see the stats on that one. Stop. Anyway. But yeah, we had a choice. That's what makes love great. How do you know someone loves you? It's hard to define, isn't it? I could be with my wife and do everything that she wants me to do and still not love her. And that's how we are with our relationship with Christ. We can do everything that is on paper, like I'm going to obey all the laws. And I'm going to go to church every week. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to memorize every scripture. I'm not going to lie, cheat, steal, any of those things. But still not love God. That's just a little side there. So yes, the reason why sin is there, God didn't put sin in the world. He allowed it to happen because without choice, there's no love. You have to have a choice. And that's no fun if he was just to program us as little robots and say, okay, beep, boop, 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 they're all going to love me. That's kind of lame, right? You got a bunch of robots coming around and you're like, all right, leave me alone, dude. You don't really love me. You're a faker. Yeah, love you, Jesus. Amazing, my hymns. Also recorded. Okay. I knew this was a bad idea. But here's the deal, and it is very evident. And so God puts the opportunity to sin in the world by putting this tree that you're not supposed to eat. Do you think he knew that we would mess up? Yeah. Yeah. He knew we were going to mess up. He's God. He's going to know we were going to mess up. Do you think that he was like, you know what, they're going to mess up, but whatever. Or was he like, they're going to mess up because they have to have a choice, but I'm going to have a backup plan. Think about a God who is, if this is the God of the Bible, is who he says he is, and he's perfect, and he created everything, then he probably would have a backup plan, right? So the rescue plan was in the works before he even created anything. It is obvious because when Adam and Eve, when they do sin, he shows up in the garden and he tells the plan. He talks about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And he says that's the first time you see a prophetic verse about Jesus. He says that the seed of the serpent will strike at the seed of the woman's heel and he will crush his head. What he's talking about there is, hey, this is all fixed. I've already got it planned for in your life, in your line, your timeline, it's going to happen. And that is Jesus coming and dying on the cross and being resurrected. Cool? We like that? Yeah, because it just kind of seems like it wasn't like, okay, what am I going to do now? I didn't really expect him to eat the tree, you know. That's not the kind of God we have. Okay. So we're going to stop right there in that part of the teaching, because, and we'll pick up on Jesus next week. We'll talk about what Jesus means in all this. So we just went through, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And then we mentioned the Trinity, that he created everything. So we'll get to more of that later. But when and if and when, either one, you decide to go to confirmation, do be confirmed, there is a long service where there's a liturgy where you're asked questions, you respond, the congregations ask questions, they respond about you being confirmed. And so we wanted to, when we're doing this teaching, we wanted to bring up those questions. So the first question you'll be answered from the service booklet will be, do you believe in God the Father? And your response, if you were being confirmed, would be, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Okay, so we got that right. We talked about that. God created heaven and earth. He did it. He created it, divided it, named it, and then said, that's good. Right? He created the sky and the water and the land. He said, this is water. This is land. It's good. Does all this, and he starts creating animals. These fly, these swim, these walk. It is good. Then he creates us, and he says, ah, very good. He's like, now I'm going to rest. And so shall you. Then the second question will be, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil? What that means is, hey, I am saying in front of everyone that I am not okay with bad stuff, with evil. doesn't mean that you're saying I will never mess up again. It means that I know I shouldn't, and I know God is not evil, and I want to be on God's side. Okay. Anybody got any questions about confirmation? Cool. Yeah. No, not in our church. Once confirmed, always confirmed. And if you've been baptized by you saying, I want to be baptized, that counts as confirmation. So it's not necessary. I don't know what they would say if they're like, hey, can I do this again? I know that in the Baptist church that I went to, people would want to rededicate and they would get baptized again. I don't know how I feel about that. I never really thought about it too much. But no, I don't think that I don't think it's necessary. Let's put it that way at least. That's a really good question, and I should have been on here. You cannot be confirmed unless you've been baptized. But you can be baptized, and then you don't have to be confirmed because it's confirming as well. For those who've been baptized as a baby, this is you saying, hey, my parents said I'm going to try to raise them in a way that they would have faith. And you get confirmed by saying, hey, that baptism, I accept that baptism as my baptism. And I'm going to, and now I'm in charge of my own faith, and I'm going to walk with Jesus by my own choice. Does that make sense? So you don't have to be baptized in this church either. You can be baptized, like, you can go out right now and say, Dad, will you baptize me in this puddle over here or whatever, and he could do that. It's okay. Baptism, what? He wouldn't do that, I'm just saying. It's not about what you do, it's about why you do it and where your heart is. I was dunked. My kids were sprinkled. Aaron was sprinkled as well. I was completely submerged by Brother Homer Shirley. That's right, that was his name. His wife's name, Punkin, Punkin. Yep. So I'm very proud of that. Any other questions? All right, try not to miss. If you do miss, that's okay. That's why I'm recording it, and you can laugh at how ridiculous I am. It'll be on the website as soon as I get it to Becca. I did record Shabazz. Yep. So. It's okay. They won't say anything probably. Well, maybe they will. I'm not real sure. Huh? That's right. I did say it was a joke. It really is a joke. Okay. So. Great. Hey, it's great to see you guys here. And I'm really excited about this. This has been something that St. Andrews has wanted for a while. Please give me any kind of critiques you have, because Kay and I are writing this. And if you were like, hey, and you like the question about that's not on here, but it was discussed in the parent meeting, we should probably put that in here. So we're going to alter it to try to make it as airtight as possible, so that in the future, this is going to be confirmation to St. Andrews forever and ever, hopefully. All right. Anybody want to pray? Would just like me to do it? Okay, do it. Lovely wife.
Thank you for the beautiful day that you created for us. This is just in our prayer.